Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on November 18th, 2021, and we're very pleased to have Pam Allen with us. Pam is a literacy expert. By the way, Scholastic, my good friend at Scholastic, introduced me to her. She is a literacy expert. She's a motivational speaker. Perhaps you've heard her. Founder of the global literacy nonprofit called Lit World, and she's co-author of a Scholastic book entitled Every Child a Super Reader, Seven Strengths. And that's what we're going to talk about, is strength to open a world of possible. All right, and we're going to have Pam with us talking about social-emotional learning, why it's so essential right now, and how approaching that from a strength-based position and giving the kids extended learning opportunities these days really helps support them. So it's a big topic. We're going to talk about it with Pam. I'm looking forward to it. We are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're over at ace-ed.org. Everything we do is at ace-ed.org, our wonderful magazine called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. New issue will be out in a few weeks, right at the beginning of December. Okay, we hope you enjoy the issue that's over there now. Go over, flip through it. You will enjoy it, I guarantee it. All our podcasts are archived over there. This one will be over there, too, at ace-ed.org. And a link to our new website, which is called SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, SEL Today. You can link from there or go over to seltoday.org and see for yourself what we're doing. It's growing every day. All right, so it's a lot of fun. Okay, check out what we do again, ace-ed.org. I want to bring Pam on. Good morning, Pam. This is Larry. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. Great to be here with you today.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from upstate New York in a small town called Old Chatham, and I live right down the block from a one-room schoolhouse that my 96-year-old neighbor went to and his father and grandfather went to. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome, and I know how beautiful upstate New York is. Put Old Chatham somewhere near the Finger Lakes, Clarkson University. Where are we? In upstate New York.
No, actually, Albany. Yep, about 30 minutes from Albany, about 30 minutes equally from Hudson, and about 2 hours from New York City. Yep.
That's so it's how great. Perfect. That's all I can tell you is how perfect. I live in rural Maine, in a similar area, about 45 minutes from Portland. Okay, and I know how beautiful that is, and yet have convenience to a nice big city. So it's a lot of fun. Pam, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. Let's start at the beginning. What's your connection with Scholastic? They're a wonderful company, good friends of ours here. Okay, they helped me set up this show. How are you and they connected? Are you simply a writer for them, or do you do more for them? And by the way, simply is a poor way to put that. Let me change that. Are you a writer for them only, or do you do other things for them? There you go.
Well,
that's
yes, absolutely. Thank you. No, Scholastic is a huge part of my life, professionally and personally. I would say definitely more than an author. I'm a creator, an innovator. Scholastic and Dick Robinson and the entire team at Scholastic for the past many years have been huge champions of my work. And also, I just have forged really close relationships with the company. We share the core values, you know, centering children's lives and their own stories and these amazing, amazing books that Scholastic publishes that are representative of a beautiful view of childhood and young adulthood that children and young adults really need. So Scholastic, I'm an author of several programs with Scholastic, two of which are called Lit Camp and Lit League, a summer school and extended day program. And these programs have really taken hold and taken off, and Scholastic and I have been in partnership around those programs for the last, since around 2015.
Cool. And by the way, everybody, you can go to scholastic.com/litcamp or scholastic.com/litleague, okay, to find out more about both of those. Okay, and just, Pam, before we get into SEL, just talk about Every Child a Super Reader, which I assume is your newest book.
Yes, well, the most exciting part of this is that right now I'm talking to you. Today is the day I'm putting the finishing touches with my co-author, Dr. Ernest Morel, out of the University of Notre Dame. We're putting the finishing touches on the second edition of Every Child a Super Reader. So Yeah, so you should be seeing that out and about probably in the early spring. And literally, I'm looking at the manuscript as we speak and making these sort of last-minute, you know, adding the best and greatest new Scholastic books to the back of the appendix and doing our last touches.
Nice.
But you'll all see that book coming shortly.
Well, thank you. And again, it's everywhere. Every child is a super reader, but it's got a subtitle, and that's a good way to segue into this, because we're going to talk about a strength-based approach and also how that affects social, emotional learning, etc. The subtitle is Seven Strengths to Open a World of Possible. And just, can you explain that? What are the strengths, or how does that position? Please, be my guest.
Yes,
well, you are my guest, so feel free to explain. You already are my guest.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love being your guest. I love already being your guest.
I love having you.
Well, I really do. Well, I appreciate your care for this, because when Dr. Morell and I wrote this book, and we really came to the strength-based work well before we wrote the book. So the book really was the story of the work that we were doing in the field, Ernest from the research perspective and also on the ground, and me from the on the ground with my organization Lit World, with young people in the field asking the question, what is getting in your way as a learner? What can we do to help open that world of possible? And over again, young people said to us, I feel like sometimes I'm looked at as if I'm a deficit model, like nothing I do can be good enough, that I feel like I'm kind of forever struggling or being named as someone who's struggling, especially in the area of reading and especially in the area of literacy as a whole. And so Ernest and I really sat down and said, we want to create a strength-based model, one in which teachers, practitioners, everybody in that school community and at home as well can have the language that children will resonate to, that young adults will resonate to, because we all want to be seen as our best selves. We all want to be seen as full of potential. And by the way, this is a very authentic work. It's not a carelessness around, I'm just going to tell everyone everything's fine. But really, strength is also in your courage, and strength is in your resilience, and strength is in your how you push through the hard parts, like we said earlier. So we created the Seven Strengths Framework actually with young people. We work with them in the field, and the way we looked at it is we said, what is it going to take for you to be the most powerful reader, writer, speaker, listener in the world you can be? And the strengths emerged as having a sense of belonging, feeling a sense of kinship and relationship with other people in your environment, with your friendship, and even an environment and a culture of kindness and empathy. And then looking outward into the world, looking outward into your community, having a strong sense of curiosity, confidence, and even courage, not only in how you approach reading, but even just how you approach hearing other people's ideas or sharing your own ideas, finding your own voice, both as a reader and a writer. And then finally, the most, perhaps the thing we're all aiming for in the Seven Strengths, because each of these, belonging, friendship, kindness, curiosity, confidence, courage, the last one is a beautiful one, and that is hope. That we felt that when we saw children becoming or having that sense of hopelessness, this was not good for their academic learning either. And so we said, let's name that. Let's actually put that right out there and talk with teachers, create communities of hope, communities of belonging, where every student will feel like they have the capacity to take that step forward. And that became this amazing framework that is now used across the entire United States and around the world through Lit Camp and Lit League. We've been able to spread that work and spread that message.
That's excellent, and I can agree with you more, all those wonderful things you talked about. I'm curious, what was the cross-section of kids you were asking? And the reason I'm asking that, and I'm sure it was a pretty good one, but I just want to clear it up, is because I'm wondering if kids in a very wealthy suburb answer the same way as kids in an urban situation or kids in a rural situation. Who did you ask as you set this up with them?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you asked that. I love that question so much.
That's why I'm here. That's
so
why
much.
I'm here. Yeah.
We put a lot of work and thought into that. We really, so much of this
I'm
is
sure
about,
you
know, that idea that we all belong to this conversation. And so how can we make sure that this conversation is powerfully inclusive, but also even beyond inclusive, really centering the voices of young people. So we, Lit World, which is the organization I founded in 2007, we have a very strong network of urban, rural, suburban, every single socioeconomic class you could imagine. Also, not only here in the United States at every juncture, but also internationally, globally too. And here's what we found out, and this is why I love the Strengths so much, is that they, Larry, they are the most universal, most unifying, most agreed upon language. They everybody, all young people together, feeling that sense of a connection. In fact, every year at Lit World, we host a coming together, and this is actually happens at the United Nations. And the children who have been in our Lit Camp programs and Lit League programs, they have no trouble connecting and communicating because they're connecting around these universal ideas. Yep, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It goes across culture. Yeah.
Oh, it does. And I have to ask this, and this is interesting. Did the kids use these words like confidence, courage, kindness, hope, or were you, or did you extrapolate that out of what they were saying? I'm just curious about that one.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this is, you know, the work that Ernest and I do is so much about children and young adults' own storytelling, and so their sense of story, and so. We did a lot of thinking and talking together. Like, we talk across grade levels. We would, you know, even from the very youngest age, from the pre-K all the way up through grade 12. And we did, you know, say to them, you know, we're going to think about ways to name things that can actually be resonating widely. We, right from the beginning, we knew we were onto something big. And so I think words like courage, I think maybe not the first word a five-year-old, obviously, or even like a 16-year-old.
That's what I was curious.
But I think when you use language like that, and it, you could see everyone kind of almost filling and lifting into that, like soaring on their wings from those words. And I think that we were saying, this is what we see in your writing. This is what we see. Does this make sense? You know, does this? So it was a lot of conversation and a lot of exploration and a lot of deep listening, which is a big value for both myself and Ernest. I mean, I think we probably spent a lot more time listening than talking, but we really, I mean, we carry their stories with us, and we continue to hear the stories of young people across the country in our program Lit Camp saying to us, with the seven strengths, before I came in here, I would have felt really isolated, really lonely, really embarrassed not to know if I could fit in.
Wow.
You know, how do I fit in as a reader? You know, what? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of the language we use in schools, and this is, you know, I'm a teacher and educator. I love schools. But we do tend to talk in jargon, and we talk about things like reading, which is so deep and so precious and so essential. We do make things numeric because we, you know, it's just a way that we have to organize things. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's like, it's not enough, because when we talk about reading as this joyful, powerful, purposeful work, children do understand that. And I think when all we're saying to them is you're level 9 or 10 or B or D, or, you know, they're like, what's that? You know what I mean? Cause somebody just read aloud this book to me that completely changed my life, you know, or I read this book independently, or I was researching something in my science class and I've just decided I want to be a doctor. It's hard to put that to a number. So we said, you know, let's create that social emotional space for literacy that we didn't see anywhere else. And I think that's the big idea.
I think it's great. And your subtitle, Seven Strengths. I'm just trying to get this into my head here. Seven Strengths to Open a World of Possible. I love that. And then the title again that's the subtitle. The title is Every Child a Super Reader. So are we saying that if we want kids to be a super reader, we have to have that, and I want you to explain this, because if I'm wrong, I want you to tell me, that we should give kids the books, the literature that they need that capture these themes. And if we capture these themes, because this is what these kids want, they will read more and more than they ever did. Is that what we're saying here, Pam? And if I'm wrong, tell me.
Yes, no, thank you. There's a big, big central part of this, the work of really, really not only linking SEL to literacy, but actually seeing how they are sisters or brother and sister, or, you know, they're twins almost in a way, is that exactly to your point, and one of the many reasons why Scholastic has been such an extraordinary partner for me in this work, because the idea that we have at our disposal the greatest children's literature, so a place that really is illuminating the power of literature written for young people, so that we can look into those texts and they become a guide, so that, you know, if the author is writing about overcoming obstacles, or the writer is writing about starting out worried about something and then working through the hard parts, we can speak to that. That's part of the work of the Seven Strengths, is to say, let's look to literature as our guide. Let's look biographies, the news articles, the novels, the short stories, the picture books that tell stories of those strengths. And, you know, literature itself is such a hopeful thing. It's, you know, I think we really cannot underestimate. Children will often tell me, and they'll talk to me about this, that at the loneliest times in their life, or at a time when they feel the most uncertain about what they should do, or even how to find a kind of ethical path forward when they're making a hard decision, a book can really help you. And that I think, again, that's something that when teachers discover the Seven Strengths, they say, hey, you just gave me the language to actually talk about these things with my students. It's kind of the why of reading, really.
I love that, and it just makes perfect sense. And the more, obviously, engaged, and the more we tap into what the students actually want, okay, the more engaged they're going to be, the more reading they're going to be, the more they're going to want to read. I have to say that, and love reading, which I think is obviously so darn important. I love the way you tie this all into social-emotional learning, okay? And Volume 1, and you said this, I didn't know this, Volume 1 was out 14 years ago now, okay? 2007, all right? And you were really on to something back then. Yes. Did I jump the gun?
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say that.
Do it.
Ernest and I created Lit World, which is a nonprofit organization in 2007. And that's where the Seven Strengths really started to percolate. And then we wrote our book, Every Child a Super Reader, 5 years ago. So that was So that was really in light of, you know, us saying, and Scholastic actually invitationally saying to us, you know, you guys are onto something huge. You've got to write about this. Thanks to all the people at Scholastic for that, because they really rallied around to say, what we're seeing, what you're showing us, what we see out in the field, the Seven Strengths in action is kind of nothing short of remarkable. The kids are coming out of the Seven Strengths program more confident, more self, you know, sense of self, but also sense of world, sense of friendship, sense of kindness, sense of a belonging to the community. And furthermore, somehow, how is this happening? Their reading scores are going up. And I said, this is what I'm saying.
That makes perfect
sense. All interconnected.
Makes perfect sense.
But
you just said something that struck me. Okay, is there literally a Seven Strengths curriculum out there? Or are you saying when there's a program, it's an outgrowth of the book? But is there an actual curriculum? Seven Strengths.
Yes. So, yes, exactly. So we've been...
There you go. There you go.
An
unplanned question.
It.
Shoot for it. Go.
Absolutely. No, because for me, I feel, you know, I'm a teacher at heart. That's it. Like, you know, on my tombstone, you just put that word. I mean, I'm a mom. I'm an aunt. I'm a teacher. Proud of it, because I'm still, you know, side by side with kids all the time in the work. And what happened is, what we did was, we said, we've got to manifest the Seven Strengths in a way that people can actually follow them, not just to talk in abstract, because, you know, teachers need actual concrete support. They work hard. There's a lot happening for them, and I want to make life easier for them. And Ernest feels the exact same way. So we built a curriculum for the Seven Strengths. Yes, the first curriculum we built is called Lit Camp, and it's a 4 to 6 week program that is based in summer school. People use it for their summer school curriculum, and it's a reading, writing camp that a school district mm-hmm. purchases as a curriculum. And it's a very specific curriculum. Yes. And so the children and the young, it's a pre-K through grade 8, entering grade 9 curriculum, and each year is different. Each year has its own set of books that go with the 7 strengths that match up with each of those strengths. And then there's lessons, and the teachers can easily follow the lessons. People often say to us that the lessons are very inspiring. The kids are so engaged. They want to come every day. They bring their siblings, even when they're not enrolled. And we always have over-enrollment in lit camp. And then what we did, we added an extended day version of the curriculum. So there's now an extended day, 30 minutes a day, 100 lessons. So you could actually use it during the school day, too, called Lit League. And those are both curricula. Follow them. Real simple. And people really love them. I mean, because we also provide the book, too. So they get the whole package.
I'm glad I asked. This is really cool. And you bring up something else, which I think is an interesting challenge. All right. As you know, we close schools in the summer so that kids can go home and harvest. And that ended in 1866. Okay. They're not harvesting anymore. All right. But for some reason, in 2021, we still think they need to go home to harvest. I don't know what's going on there. Okay. And you talk about expanded learning opportunities. And then in the same sentence, we can talk about the great summer slide, okay, that we always see.
Right.
And here we have a remedy, all right? And with technology today and broadband, and hopefully we'll have better infrastructure once this bill gets through and they start building that sort of stuff, all right? And there's no reason in the world why kids can't do an hour a day in the summer of school. And that could be monitored, et cetera. And you talk about expanded learning opportunities. You just mentioned it, but I want to get into it just a little bit of detail. We can get rid of this summer slide to an extent, okay? We just have to make it happen, okay? And parents can see kids working at home. What are your thoughts on that? You talk about expanded learning opportunities. Just discuss that. Talk that from your point of view.
My point of view has always been that these are valuable learning times for our kids. And the key is, I think that once we start thinking about those pockets of time as actually opportunities for high engagement, we're going to that's a home run. That's a home run. The child does, a year is 365 days. The way I see super reading, the way Ernest sees super reading is a 365-day strategy. So when I work with districts on Lit Camp and implementation of Lit League, I ask them the question, how can we create a 365-day strategy for our super readers? Because our kids need to be reading all, and writing for that matter, all year long, and create engaging programs and engaging opportunities for them, a strength-based approach, something that feels that SEL wraparound.
Yeah.
It feels like you are welcome here. You are going to be seen here. You're going to be heard here. But also, these are rigorous programs. Lit Camp and Lit League, we have shown over and over again. Lit Camp, I've had superintendents call me and say, I hope you're sitting down. Because in four weeks, kids will advance 2 or 3 levels in their reading. In 4 weeks. Because they're reading a lot. And, Larry, this is something I think you'll appreciate. The summer before when February, March happened and we knew what was happening with COVID. We sat down together and we just said, the kids have been counting the days to Lit Camp because it really means a lot to so many kids. And we said, all of us together said, what could we do to make this happen this summer? So we converted Lit Camp to a virtual program called Lit Camp at Home, and thousands of kids used it and loved it. And to me, that expanded learning that you're talking about, that is 100%. That is a huge issue for country in a change of the mindset young people, if the work is good, and at Lit Camp, there's so much joy in Lit Camp. We call it serious joy, that they want to come. I go to visit districts where, Larry, they'll say to me, Mrs. Allen, we only have 93 and a half days left until the next LIT camp. You know, like they want to go, and it's a learning environment. They're learning to read in that environment. I say to people, I'm a literacy educator. I want your kids to learn to read. It's not a joke. Like, if they don't learn to read, they will be vulnerable in our society. We have to protect them with literacy. Give them those skills. You know, so it's really, we can do this. I'd like to see Lit Camp in every single school district in the country. I'm so excited about, you know,
It should be. And I'll tell you, Pam, okay, you know, we're giving it a title, Expanded Learning. If we just called it school and said we're doing this summer, that's the end of the discussion.
Right.
It's school. We're doing this summer. Get your kid the computer and have them sit on it between 9 and 10 in the morning. Okay? Or 1 hour
that's
a day
it.
Or whatever that number is. Just say that's what it is. That's just school. Just like you send them all fall and spring, you're going to send them there.
Right.
Except you're going to do it at home.
That's it.
And we got to get rid of the title and just say this is school because it's a great idea.
That's it.
If we haven't learned by now, there's a summer slide. If we haven't learned by now how important this is, and I got to talk to you about this. There's a lot of controversy, so to speak, right now about some people are upset at the words social emotional learning. Okay, some people get upset at that for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Okay, but if we say to them, we're going to teach you, we're going to help your kids understand, they can make their own decisions. All right, but it's going to be about courage. It's going to be about confidence. It's going
to be
about empathy. It's going to be about hope. And it's a lovely thing that every single parent in the world would go, yeah, that's great. Okay, but they hate titles.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I was going to say, like, Ernest and I, we often say this that, I think actually I quote the poet Robert Frost because he once said that he did not write poetry about what he was against. He wrote poetry about what he was for. And I think that when Ernest and I write curriculum and when we write our books and when we write about the work or we go out there and make something happen like Lit Camp or Lit League, we're building what we're for, not what we're against. And for me, it's what you said, every parent, not a single parent, wants their child to be thriving independently, to feel that sense of hopefulness, to be courageous when needed, if needed, to have a friend at school or at home. And these are things we can all agree on. And I think we have to find ways to be together because for me it's even, like I do think sometimes words, when they divide people, I think it's because people maybe need another way to talk or think about it, just like we did with the seven strengths. We made it more human and more inviting and also this idea at the center of that is really about well-being, and we want that for ourselves, and we want that for our children, and that's really what I see. It's a sense of well-being that we're creating in everything, and especially, you know, reading can be – learning to read and being a teacher of reading can be very stressful, and I said, you know what, nobody does that well when there's a constant level of stress on them, and how can we create a better sense of well-being for our kids as learners? And that's really where that strength-based approach comes from. But I agree, like, I want people to feel a sense of connection in this work around the strengths. Everybody can agree with these. You know, everybody can.
Everybody can agree. And I don't know what we're always arguing about, not you and I, but everybody else in the world. Okay? It just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. We got to go in a minute, but I have to ask you a question. This is I just realized your last name, Allen, is Allyn.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're from upstate New York. And Welsh Allen used to be a company that did blood pressures and all that sort of stuff. Are you related to those folks?
No, I'm not at all. But also, it's actually my husband's last name. You know, I took his last name. But his family is not related to them either. But his family settled in Connecticut years ago, and his grandfather was a very, very unusual, creative, remarkable man. His name was, like my husband's, was Jim Allen, and he was an architect and also a storyteller. And when we'd go visit him, they settled this island called Mason's Island in Connecticut, and we would go visit, and he'd always have a fire going midday, and we would kind of sit around and just listen to him tell stories from his very adventurous life. But I always learned a lot from him because he was really always himself. He put a big mark in the world. He created a kind of vision of how he wanted, you know, or a sense of a community, how people could live. Proud of that name. It's really an important part of my identity too. And it is a source of pride for all of us to be related to this family that maybe the world hasn't heard of, but he himself.
But you sure did.
An extraordinary guy.
And what you just said, that's a typical architect. Architects, people think they just design buildings, but they tend to think bigger in terms of community.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's so
really cool.
True.
I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah.
I'm glad
yeah,
I asked
same,
that question.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
Pam, this was wonderful. Thank you so much. This was great. The tie-in between SEL and the power and opportunity to read is just so important. You really said that beautifully. So I can't thank you enough for being here. Thank you.
Well,
thank you,
Larry. I really appreciate your great questions and the conversation and also everything you do for our students and these really important conversations. So thanks a lot for having me today.
Well, thank you. And actually, Pam, look what we do over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And we're all about equity. We're all about SEL. Maybe you want to write something for us.
I would love that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I would absolutely. Okay. I would love to. I would absolutely love to. And I will
get in touch later, and we'll see what we can put together. I would love it. This was a
great
conversation.
Me too.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Okay.
Be good. Thanks,
Pam.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And happy Thanksgiving. Oh, I lost her, but she heard that. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody a week from today. Okay, turkeys, beware. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. You can link to SEL today, and it's just amazing how SEL and reading tie together. It's just, well, you heard it all. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.